It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And for the last part of our program, we're going to go back to the 90s, specifically as one Illinois city's art scene experienced it. Rockford's art community was dynamic during that decade. Many artists found a home in Rockford, transforming one space into the city into a place where they could hold gallery shows that included diverse kinds of art. One prominent group in that scene was known as Paul Harvey Oswald, which focused on experimental video installations. That group, along with many other artists, is being spotlighted in an exhibit that recently opened at the Rockford Art Museum. It's called Analog, Rockford's Decade of Creative Rebellion, and it'll be on display through September 28th. With me now is one of the artists whose work is being featured, Doug Connell, co-founder of the Paul Harvey Oswald Collective. Doug, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Listeners, our phone lines are open for the last part of our program today. If you happen to have memories of Rockford's art scene, or maybe memories of the art scene of the 90s where you were, maybe there's some overlap, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, Doug, for those of us who were not there, how would you describe the art scene in Rockford in the 90s?
There was a lot of opportunity at the time between the Rockford Art Museum just working into their fairly new space. There were a lot of independent galleries and galleries downtown. There were a lot of little pop-ups that would just happen. So it really also the music scene was real pretty vibrant. So there were a lot of different creative outlets for anyone who wanted to jump in and share a little of their creativity.
What brings you into this scene?
At the time, I was working at a CBS affiliate, and I decided to go freelance. And one of my first freelance jobs was to co-produce a show called The Art Zone, which was a cable access show about art and artists in the Rockford area. It was sponsored by J.R. Cortman, and they had the Cafe Esperanto, which has been recreated for this exhibit. And the idea behind that was if you couldn't make it to an art opening, you could get the story behind what the artist wanted to share about his artwork. So that was our introduction to kind of the formal nature of art at the art museum, and then meeting the artists that are also in this show, Scoogie. There are about 10 artists. So between the interviews and getting to know them, it really pulled us into that world of art, and I had a little better understanding. And that led us to realizing, hey, we think we've got something to contribute with the sound and video art that we're doing. And so we had the opportunity also to share.
All right. Well, that brings us to the excellently named Paul Harvey Oswald. So tell me about that.
Excuse me. That was the brainchild of the co-founder, Kevin Cronin. And if you get the idea behind the name, that was kind of the whole essence of the group, Paul Harvey and Lee Harvey Oswald, that kind of mashup. And that's what we did. We recorded sound bites and funny sayings and things off of broadcast television and started to put them together to tell a little story. We used to have a thing called lists. It was just funny lists of things. And then we realized there's a little commentary that we can create through these sound bites and taking things out of context and jamming them together. Whether it was about politics, obsessive compulsive behavior, the American dream, hearing loss. And most of my pieces tended to be a little more satirical and easy access, and Kevin's were a little more political and a stronger message, but in that combination, it worked pretty good to share those messages with the public at large.
All right, well, we have a clip of some of this work. Again, this is Paul Harvey Oswalt. What's not going to come across to our listeners on the radio is that these clips are, you know, as we were just hearing, all for kind of excerpts from TV shows, movies, documentaries, that sort of thing. Let's listen.
Human beings have evolved with a unique capacity to learn language.
You know, I can't remember the first time I began talking.
Most of the people I know are quiet.
I like to talk.
There is a real social use of language.
I never heard anything like it.
Now, wait a minute. There are two sides to everything. Let's look at this thing straight, calmly, and reasonably.
What they're trying to do is to learn how to communicate.
I'll buy it. Suits me.
You need something beyond exposure. You need interaction.
When we say the medium is the message, the medium is also something that in itself we care about. We come to love words.
Now you're talking my language. This is the moment I've been waiting for.
I love it. So, I mean, this is something that, you know, is not altogether uncommon in the era of YouTube and ubiquitous clips. But what was the creative process for this like back in the 90s?
Hence the name Analog. all the audio that we cut together originally was tape to tape, VHS to VHS. And it wasn't until we were into it for a year or so, we had an Amiga computer, and that allowed us to digitize the audio into a digital format and then start to cut it up. And so we would play these audio clips, but it was in a group of people, it was hard to keep the full interest because we would project raw footage, and it wasn't really in sync with anything. So what we did then was capture off of records and VHS and broadcast, cut all that together in the Amiga, get it real tight, and then go back and add frame accurate to the video back to that audio piece. And then we started to add music underneath. And in that clip that we just listened to, that full clip, there's probably 50 different sources of material that I drew on. And some of it went back to, you know, one of the clips is John Wayne from the movie The Cowboys. And my dad and my brothers and I saw that when I was about 8 years old. And it stuck in my mind, that whole sequence about stuttering and learning how to communicate stayed in my mind all those years, and then comes back as I'm working on this piece. And I've always loved that process about how our brains shift all that content and then are able to project a whole different message out of it.
I love this idea, and I was trying to identify the clips myself. I mean, I don't know if it was Hitchcock's lifeboat. There was a scene that looked like it was in a lifeboat.
Yes.
Or some other. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, you know, it's good to know that there's like a useful outlet for this, you know, what some people think is my useless ability to memorize or, you know, recall movie quotes and scenes many years later. what do you want people to take away from a work like that?
Well, you know, it didn't hit me at the time, but in pieces like that, and a lot of our pieces, just to pause a little bit, and, you know, usually the reaction is, oh, that's funny, or, you know, that caught me off guard. But, you know, I look back at it now years later and think, gosh, that's almost 30 years ago. It still holds up pretty good. And that message of communicating and having difficulty in communicating. And then at the very end, you know, the death of language, or how, you know, what people have to go through to be able to share what they're, what's inside. And that's kind of also the model for Paul Harvey Oswalt. We have all these different themes that we wanted to share. And when we did have the opportunity to share in a large scale, this is all pre-internet, we would have like a 30-foot projected image on the side of a building with 200 watts of sound coming out. And it's like, boy, you can't really avoid that. So if the message has a little punch to it, it really set up for, it was very exciting for us to be able to share on that scale. So being able to walk away with maybe even just a little piece of what the original intention was, and then going back to the Art Zone, the show that we created, since the artist is not there to be able to explain exactly what that painting is about, we hope that we can kind of educate and give you a little insight as to what we were trying to share.
Let me reintroduce our conversation. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st show, and we are spending the last part of our program today on a new art exhibit looking at Rockford's art scene as it was in the 90s. It's called Analog, Rockford's Decade of Creative Rebellion. It's on display at the Rockford Art Museum through September 28th. We're talking about this with Doug Connell, one of the artists featured in the exhibit through his work as a co-founder of the video art collective Paul Harvey Oswald. Talk about the role of the Rockford Art Museum in this scene.
The Art Museum had recently acquired the building, the Riverfront Museum Park, and their new space. And so the opportunity for them to grow and start to build their collection was also happening at that time. We were connected to them through the show that we had produced. So we went to every opening. We had a chance to meet with the artists, and the scale of work that came in from around the state and the country whenever there was a new exhibit that was put together. But their emphasis has always been too on the local artists, and really given a great opportunity for that content to be shared. And their collection of artwork is on display. The art that they collected at that time is part of the show. J.R. Cortman and Cafe Esperanto, their artwork is on display. And then Skoogie, the artwork is what originally was in their studio space, which we were lucky enough to perform in. And it recreates that whole environment. So the fact that it's Carrie Johnson, who's the executive director and curator of the museum, pulled us all together one night over dinner and said, I really want to look back at that critical time in Rockford. And having as many different voices of the 90s to share that and have a little perspective would be a great idea behind the exhibit. And we're very thankful for their longevity in supporting the arts and the opportunity for all of us to be there for the show.
Just a couple of minutes left in our time together. I want to end by asking you about, so the show is called Analog. You describe these sort of happenings projecting on the side of a building with 200-watt sound systems. Nowadays, people can have or at least imagine their audience to be everyone in the world on a platform like YouTube or one of the other video sharing platforms. How do you think that changes people's approach to art? You know, thinking, well, this is something I'm going to have to share locally in you know, meat space, to use that term, with other human beings versus something I'm just sitting in my house and putting out there for the world to see.
Yeah, it's the old joke always was, if you can't paint good, paint big. And so sometimes the art just goes out so fast, and there's so much of it, and it's kind of an assault on your senses. I like the intimacy of the artwork when I'm in a gallery, or to be able to talk to the artist. But the opportunity that artists now have to be able to share on such a wide scale is pretty amazing. Even for us, we have this catalog of almost 70 pieces. And if you didn't see something live, the chances of you catching, you know, this experience was limited. So even for us now, they're all on YouTube. So we can get to people that we never imagined that we could get to. So I believe there's more opportunity. I still think the art scene in Rockford is vibrant with a strong anchor like the Art Museum and the Arts Council, and the amount of opportunities during art scene that show up every year. So having a worldwide audience and a local audience are now really do go hand in hand.
Doug Connell is a co-founder of Paul Harvey Oswald, which is some of their art, I should say, is featured in Analog, Rockford's Decade of Creative Rebellion. It's an exhibit on display at the Rockford Art Museum through September 28th. Doug, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Coming up on Monday, it's Memorial Day. We'll talk about searching for tens of thousands of American military personnel who are still missing from World War II all the way up through the Gulf War. We'll hear the stories of a few Illinoisans who have finally been accounted for in just the past few years. That's coming up Monday on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. And we will talk with you again next week.